And welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, October the 11th, 2025. It is Season 19, Episode 32, and I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And welcome to the show. If you want to get in touch with us, you can't. Well, actually, no, you can't. Discord's up there. We got that going on. But you can also send us an email if you want to do that. Everyone at ingamechat.net. Our website, ingamechat.net. Go there. Find ways to get in touch with us through Facebook, through Twitter, through Blue Sky. It's all in-game chat. Basically, if you type in-game chat in one word on almost any kind of social platform, you're likely to find us. Although lately, as I've gotten older, I've gotten less interested in social platforms. It's like, as another one, somebody else can have it, you know? It's like, somebody else can grab our name. I don't want to deal with it anymore. Because I never created one for TikToks, you know? Never did. We might have an Instagram that I made a long time ago, but I've not used it.
I don't know.
If I did, I don't even remember if I did or not. We may have.
I don't have Instagram, so I don't...
exactly. I wouldn't know. So. Exactly.
Someone out there will tell us.
But plenty of other ways that you get in touch with us, so just do that. Go to the Discord if you want to do that. And by the way, the link to our Discord is at our website. Go to ingamechat.net. We're streaming right now on Twitch, twitch.tv. Go there, type in our name again, and you'll be able to find us that way. And you can watch the show live while we broadcast and join us in ye old chat room. That feels like a dated name now, you know?
What, chat room?
Chat room, right?
Yeah.
That feels like old Gramps talking about his chat room again, you know?
Yeah, but it still works.
Oh, no, it still works. Yeah. I'm just saying it sounds, at this point, oddly enough, it sounds like an old term.
Okay, well, what's the current term for chat
room? I wouldn't know. I have no clue. Why would you ask me? I'm not going to know the new slang. I don't know, man. Mm. I have no idea. I don't keep up with those trends. Discord, I would say, probably would be, you know... Go to our Discord and there, because we, you know, it's a channel. Mm-hmm. Something like that, I suppose. I don't know. We could sit here all day going over, like, how old are we?
Old enough.
Back in my day. Played Pong.
Still do.
Yeah, somebody said that in the chat room. Grandpa Scott. Yeah, Lethal Migraine. I did not make an in-game chat only fans. So, whoever... wants that one could have it.
What's that saying? Face for radio, voice for print.
Yeah, really? Exactly.
You got the bods for OnlyFans?
Yeah. But see, the OnlyFans would be like, let me... So here's how the OnlyFans would work.
Okay.
Or at least here's my idea. If you know what OnlyFans happens to be, or at least what the common...
You know what it was started for, but you know what it's used for now.
Right.
Yeah.
The common use for OnlyFans, right?
Yeah.
So, take it in a different direction with, like, what we would do. We would bring out really valuable collectibles.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'd pay us to unbox them. Because once you take it out of the wrapper, man, it's going to lose money.
Yeah.
So if you pay us to take it out of the wrapper so you can see all the things of the collectibles, yeah, actually, even better. I have more ideas. All right. So not only do we unbox the collectibles, right?
Mm-hmm.
But depending on how much you put in to get us to unbox, I don't know how any of that's where we'll work out the details, but, you know, your name goes into a drawing,
mm-hmm.
and you get ever so many names depending on how much money you donate, that sort of thing, and then you win the thing. I mean, it's invaluable to us because we just unboxed it, but
and
you get it.
Who got it?
Yeah. There's ideas.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm just thinking.
Just put that on the back burner.
Of course.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah. You know, I took a fun little concept and I went too far with it, which is normally what I do. I overthink it. Hey, let me do this real quick to show you that. Or to get me all
synced up
whenever I get around to that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dave is listening and has been giving me running commentary as we go. Got that spoopy crackdown music. Yeah, okay. He's listening before he goes to a wrestling match here in a bit. Mm. So, Oh, Dave, if you are listening, your song is coming up. So I told you I didn't know where it was going to place. He had a request for the spooky songs.
Yeah.
And I told you I didn't know where it was going to show up. It is the first song out of the gate, which is odd because it starts with a Z. So it's interesting that it showed up first, but that's what you got. So stick around, David Boy. We're going to get your music on that you requested. By the way, if you do have, you know, requests, not only for the Halloween music, and if you do, please send them. I am always open to that because I always try to find music that we haven't run before. But when you kind of close off your walls of, like, just spooky music game, and you've done this for years and years and years, mm-hmm. you begin to run into, like, all right, well, I'll just use a different track from that same game. I try not to. I try to be selective about it, but sometimes I even forget to do it, and it's like, crap, I need to grab some, and I'll just go back and grab some old ones that we've done just because I need it and I don't have the time. But if you've got requests, I gave you plenty of ways to get in touch with us for spoopy music, then let us know. That'd be great. So, let's see. Just reading the chat room some more. Destroy the products with a sledgehammer or fire for the thrill. I think we could get more revenue generated by making it kind of a raffle and giving it away type of thing after we open it, after we do the unboxing. So anyway, welcome into the show. We should talk about what we've played. Mm-hmm. So I will start with you.
Okay.
RJ, what have you been playing?
Remember that item I was hunting for last week with Division 2? I finally got hold of it.
The scout rifle, or yeah, at least the really long-range...
Long-range rifle, the Virginian.
The Virginian.
A variation of the 1886.
Wasn't that a TV show?
Yeah. it was a variation of the rifle I've been using all this time called the 1886. Long-range scout rifle like it was in Destiny. I can shoot clear across the map and hit my target with enough force to take him out in one hit if I hit it right.
Yeah.
Right? So it was a very good weapon for me, and I was always looking for that weapon for the longest time. And with the projects that they gave out, which basically had the YouTuber challenges of time trials and giving you named items twice for every time you run a mission. So since they have four characters, I could run that thing four different times, four different characters, and get eight crates.
Two, okay,
eight
yeah.
Eight crates.
Nice.
Total. So I would up the...
So at least, yeah.
So I would do this over and over again.
How long did it take you?
It took me...
How many runs?
Took me about 2 weeks of doing that, because I was getting so much stuff.
2 weeks of the eight?
Two weeks of doing this over and over and over again, and getting all these crates. Whew. That's why I was getting all this stuff that I already had. I mean, how many times did I get... Simo Hoya's rifle, the white.
You must be overflowing with whatever the breakdown materials are from things you get, or unless you sell them back.
I already was.
Yeah.
So what'd you do
with all that stuff that you didn't need?
Break it down for the main character, get parts, and for the other characters I had, I would sell it off to just build up credits.
Okay,
because I already had abundance.
Well, that's good. You should be sitting pretty then.
Yeah. So
with the weapon you got, and with all the stuff you got from all the stuff you didn't need.
Yeah. So I had excess of stuff doing this, but yeah, I finally got what I was looking for. So I've been enjoying it. Only problem is, the experience of the 1886 didn't transfer over to the Virginian because I was at level 10 with that. I'd have to get to level 10 to upgrade the thing incrementally with all the stats that I've got, right?
That's right. The weapons level up, too.
The weapons level up, too.
I forgot about that.
So for some armors, it doesn't matter, because I've had one set of armor that I built up, and the upgraded named variation of it, the experience traveled with me. But it wasn't the same with the weapon.
Can you do that like they did in Destiny? Can you upgrade your weapons, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Upgrade your weapons, yeah. You build it up in rank, and then when you get to a certain
level... Or level up your weapons,
then
I suppose.
Yeah, you build it up in rank, then you can level it up.
Okay.
So depending on your experience, expertise, you can build it up over and over and over again. And I've maxed it out as best as I can with the stats that I've had, I've got right now. So right now, I'm working on building up the proficiency with the new rifle, and then building it up later on as I go. But I've been grinding Division 2 until I got what I was looking for, and now that I've got it, I've been helping some friends online play as well, and we've been hunting for those named crates and exotic crates ever since.
No,
yeah,
and that's it. Just
Division 2. Now that I've got it, I can play other things and spread out. Probably hit the backlog more than anything else. But yeah,
well, if I could make a suggestion to you, and I'm not saying you need to, your computer will run it, because it is not a demanding game.
Right.
It does demand your... Well, it's not demanding on your computer. What it demands of you, I'm not exactly sure, because it's completely roped me in with what it's asking me to do and what it wants me to do and everything else. But my suggestion is Clover Pit, which I've talked about before. But
yeah.
Boy. So last week after the show, I get really emotional. Last week after the show, I was at home. I did the editing of the video and everything else. And then suddenly I realized that I talked myself into doubting myself that I had left some stuff here not the way it's supposed to be. But the only time I could check that is around midnight. Yeah. Like, I mean, I could drive back up here and check.
Yeah.
Or I could just listen. And then when midnight hits, if things go well, we're good. If not, I got to drive up here and fix it. So I just thought I'll wait around till midnight. So waiting around, I fired up Clover Pit to kind of, you know, let me get into this and see what it's like. Man, I don't want to say that was a mistake, but it has pulled me. It is firing all those little, you know, the numbers go up thing, you know, big numbers and no whammies, you know, that sort of thing. So that's exactly what it's doing, and that is exactly what it is. It is a slot machine Bellotro. In fact, something I unlocked the other day was a Jimbo, which is the card, the Joker card in Bellotro.
His name is Jimbo.
Yeah. I unlocked a Jimbo. I can't remember what he does. I looked to see what he does, but yeah. Oh, boy. Clover Pit is really, really it pulled me in. You have... three rounds, there's deadlines. In other words, you have an amount you have to hit. Mm-hmm. And you have three rounds to hit that amount.
Yeah.
And every time you do, the amount goes up. Every time you put money into the machine in order to play... well, actually, no, it's not that. I'm trying to figure out how I can explain it to you. You have to play a slot machine. You have a certain amount of funds that you start with. When you put money into the ATM to pay off your debt, the interest of that increases. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, every time you finish a round of slots, you get whatever you won from that, plus you get the interest that you've already submitted into the machine to pay off your debt.
Mm-hmm.
Your first round starts with, like, hey, you need to reach this pretty low number. So, you know, put the money in the machine, you get, depending on how much money you put into the machine, you get seven spins or three spins or something like that. And you put your money in, you get the stuff, you get money out, you get your interest, you pop it in. Once you hit the deadline, your debt increases and you go and you do it again. You do this over and over and over again. Infinitely, seemingly. Every time you start the game with like two tickets, and every time you finish a round of slots, you get one ticket. If you pick you have two options whenever you play the slot machine. You can put in to get the most turns. You get nothing out of that except for the money you win. If you pay the minimum or the minimal amount, you get less turns, but you'll get two tickets at the end. So it's kind of a, you know, that sort of a situation.
Risk reward
there's
thing,
yeah, there's been many times where I have done one round and gotten plenty of money to actually move out of, to go to the next level.
Right.
But I'll stay in and then I'll go back to the machine and I'll put in the lower amount so I can get some extra tickets because the tickets are used at the shop. The shop has what would be called, well, the shop would be your jokers.
Jokers, yeah.
Yeah, they got little charms that can put luck on your spins or can make sure that this item shows up on the wheels more often than the other items or puts a multiplier on, go away, bug, puts a multiplier on one of the items or something like that. Just has a number of different effects. I have no idea how many different charms there are or activators or anything like that, but there's a ton.
Yeah.
And so you start to add those and then your spins have luck on them, which, you know, can do this. And then you just keep going with it.
Yeah.
if you're unable to meet your debt, you die.
Or just game over, yeah.
Well, it's kind of like that, because there is a charm that will redeem you. In other words, you don't die. Mm-hmm. You get two more spins to reach your debt and to stay alive. Doesn't always show up, and if you don't have it, then you obviously die anyway. Mm-hmm. Floor drops out, and you die. You're stuck in like a room. It's like in like a really small room. There's a locked door on one side with a red telephone. There's the shop on one of the sides of the room. Across from that is where all your charms sit and where the slot machine is. There's the ATM machine on the other side. And then, there's some posters there to tell you what are your odds of hitting this, how many times, that sort of thing. There's a lot of visual stuff for you to take in to figure out, do I need to run on making lemons pop up more? Is that where I'm sort of going with what I'm doing? Lemons or clovers or bells or sevens or, anything, diamonds, stuff like that, whatever's on the board. The more I play to this, the more like little things started to reveal themselves and expose themselves. Like there was little strange things would pop up. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. There's a gnat in here and it's bothering me. It's flying around me for some reason. Or this microphone, actually. Mm. Anyway, so the more I would play, there was one time where I had enough money to pay off my debt, which I did. Mm-hmm. And then turns out I had enough money to pay off the next level of debt that I had. And the game said, hey, I want to make a deal with you. If you go ahead and skip this next round, since you have the money to do it, I'll give you this thing. And it was a pack of cards. Mm-hmm. Cards are modifiers that you can trigger before you start your journey. Mm-hmm. In other words, I was already in the middle of the game. I can't activate them. But the next time I come back in, when I start a new run, I can modify the game. They're not great modifiers. They really, really aren't. Most of them are very detrimental to you. And reading it, I can't tell what the upside is. Like, I get there's a big downside to it, but I can't find an upside at all on some of them. But I haven't really explored that because there's another avenue of this game that I'm trying to go down and finish. Mm-hmm. On the side where your charms are, they sit on a desk that has four drawers. Those drawers are locked. One of your early things that you do in this game, you'll see, is a key that is behind a glass shield or whatever. It's encased in glass. And there's a target on the top as far as money. One of the first things you'll do is get that key. That key unlocks one of those drawers. There's absolutely nothing in the drawer. Maybe that's a spoiler, but you'll understand the more you play it. But there's nothing in that drawer. However, things can be put in that drawer. So, there's four of them. And my first thing to do was, I want to get a key. So I got a key and I got a drawer unlocked. And then it was the next time is another key. So I finally got all four drawers unlocked. And there's even more depth to that that I haven't yet figured out, but I'm on my way. Because I only unlocked my fourth key yesterday. And so now I'm working on the next key. Which is, it's like a skeleton key now that it's about to give me. And I don't know what it's going to do, but I'm going to try and get there to figure out what it's going to do.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the fun of it. They start throwing these things at you, and it's like, well, what did that do? What is that? Now I need to go down this path to figure out what this mystery is. You know, how it's going to shape the game or change the game. So,
So you got a lot of natural stuff in there that keeps you playing.
Really. It absolutely does. It absolutely does. It triggers that brain function of, making numbers go higher and finding out what the next door is type of thing, even though there's no door. But to find out what is the next thing that I'm going to sort of get a little bit more of a breadcrumb, put some more breadcrumbs down for me to follow, for me to try. And trying to look up strategies online is one thing, but it's all RNG based. So the strategies only work if the gods of RNG are in your favor with what you get. I don't know if I think there is a demo You know, if you want to try it out, I believe there's a demo. It is not a pretty looking game.
You have to be pretty to be fun.
Yeah, Balatro,
yeah.
Again, it's Balatro type graphics.
Yeah, it's Balatro instead of cards. You got slot machines, and you have a little more elements, like I said, that keeps you playing. Like the mystery aspect. What does this do? How does this operate?
That was my whole thing. Like every time I would play the game, it would do something where I'm like, what did that? What's that mean? Let me figure out what that does. You know, I want to continue to unravel this mystery and see where it gets me. I don't want to go any further in explaining any of it because I would like it to be, because for me it was a surprise. And I don't necessarily, it doesn't feel like it's a spoiler to tell you, but I feel like if this is something you're interested in, that just like me, these little drips of mystery will keep you going. And I don't want to ruin that for anybody.
Well, I mean, look, if you play Balatro, you probably would get a kick out of this
Didn't think I would, because the first couple of times, but then again, it's just like Balatro, it's just the same way Balatro did to me.
Yeah.
I played Balatro a little bit at the beginning, and I was like, I'm not really, this is not catching on, but eventually it did. Clover Pit was the same way, where I was like playing, I was like, I'm not really, and then something hit. Yeah. I don't know when it hit, but something hit. And I was like, whoop, there's the neurotoxin. There's the... There's the feel-good juice. There's the addictive
what's that
stuff.
That dopamine.
There's
hit?
The dopamine hit. Yeah, exactly. So it keeps me there. It absolutely keeps me there. I'm at the point now where I make sure I've taken care of whatever I've taken care of in Snap at the minimum. In other words, that's all I had to do. Okay, I'm done. Move over to Clover Pit. You know. Whereas Snap used to be just like, yeah, just play some Snap for a while, just do this, blah, blah, blah. Now it's like, let me get Snap out of the way so I can go over to Clover Pit. And runs can last you, you know, it reminds me of pinball where you could sit down in front of a you could stand up in front of a pinball machine.
Sit down now.
Yeah, video game or you know, actual pinball machine.
Yeah.
You get three balls, that's it. But some of those games, because you can do pretty well, can last
multi-ball. You know how to operate
hours.
And everything. Yeah.
You can go an hour on a run. You can do the same thing in Clover Pit. You can go an hour on a run. And even if you don't go an hour on one run, you can go an hour just doing a bunch of runs. At, you know, just keep going and going and going, trying to get better than you did before, trying to get that nice collection of whatever kind of charms that synergize with each other. To get those scores going way up, that's currently my drug of choice right now is Clover Pit. So I was playing it this morning before I not only got my fourth key, but I was setting myself up for a good start. I don't necessarily know it's going to be a great run, but I had restarted. I was looking at what I had, and my charms are pretty good. My lucky charms are pretty good to make things happen. So, yeah, I'm going to sit there and play some more of that. So that's exactly what I'm playing. I haven't touched Spider-Man 2 much at all, if at all. And, just doing the pit. So, anyway. We are at a break, and that's great for Dave, who I hope is still listening. Let me see if he sent me a massage. He did. He likes the 16-bit and 8-bit spoopy music the better. You know, and that, and Dave, I agree with you there, but I feel like I've milked those for all they're worth because they're just, you just didn't get a lot. I've got the Friday the 13th. I've got the Nightmare on Elm Street. I've used those. I don't know, any other little things that are all, you know, Castlevania, I guess. I've used those, that sort of stuff. So I'm all about it, but yeah. Anyway, this is Dave's choice. This is what Dave wanted. It is the it's music from Zombies Ate My Neighbors. From the old, I don't know if this is SNES or NES. Was that SNES or NES?
I want to say it was on Genesis because I remember that title somewhere.
Zombies Ate My Neighbors. This is Evening of the Undead. We'll hear in a minute if it's which era it's from. That sounds Nintendo. That sounds NES. But I don't know. Anyway, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat after this. Welcome back in to in-game chat. Ooh, spooky. Oddly enough, this comes from the Thief game. Thief Deadly Shadows or something like that, I think is what it was called. There's a level in that game, which this music comes from. I remember James telling me about it back when he was on the show. It is the Shale Bridge Cradle. And it's a very spooky level. But anyway, welcome back into the show. Looking at Thar in the... I guess I'm pronouncing your name right. Probably wrong, because, you know, that's what I do. It says, I've been playing Banishers, Ghosts of Eden. Also, Dragon Age The Veilguard. It says, that game got a bum rap. I think it's pretty good, and the graphics are fantastic. He's also been playing a bit of Path of Exile 2 as well. I was interested in Dragon Age The Veilguard. And I guess I have it now, because it's on PS5 or whatever for PS Plus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Got released on PS Plus, so... It's
free,
there.
Right?
Huh?
Free.
Yeah. Well, you know, with a subscription, yes.
Yeah.
Free. So, I've got it. I haven't started playing it. I kind of wanted to just play it on PC, not necessarily on my PlayStation, but, you know, free's free. I'll go where that's at. Yeah, I get it, Lethal. I understand. Some of those first persons can do that. I know you're not alone. There's a lot of people who do that. I know you're... I think you like the stealthy-type games. And that's a good one, but it's first-person stealth. And I absolutely can understand how it can give you motion sickness.
Mm-hmm.
Dana suffered from that. And I think it was... God, I can't remember what it was. But for any first-person stuff, she could not play.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because of the motion sickness. First-person shooters, and it's also different. First-person shooters can, depending on how you can adjust the settings, can help with that. Or because it moves so fast, the motion sickness doesn't sit in. But, you know, there's different ways that it affects different people.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally understand that.
Yeah.
So, I hate you can't. There might be some third-person mods for that thing. Maybe. I prefer my stealth to be in third-person. In first person, I can't tell if my body parts are sticking out from the side of the thing or not. It's one of those weird things where it's just like, I'll try it. Like, Prey was first person and it had some stealth aspects, but what's the other one that I'm trying to think of that was first person stealth? Thief is another one. But there's another game that is not Metal Gear Solid.
No, there was some elements of that was first person, but lots like crawling through vents and stuff like that, or being in the box.
Yeah.
First-person stealth?
There was another first-person stealth game that I was just not good at. And, I mean, I think there's plenty of them out there, and I'm trying to remember what it was, but I prefer my thirds. I like my Splinter Cells. I like my Metal Gears
mm-hmm.
for my stealths. But there's something else that was first-person. I wanted to enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
but I just don't like first-person stealth. I don't. Yeah. Oh, Dishonored. That's what I was trying to think of, mm-hmm. which is from the same people who made Prey, I think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Dishonored and Dishonored 2, very, you know, first-person stealthy type thing.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. Lethal Migrant says it would likely be a ton of extra work, but I wish more games offered the option of a first or third-person view. Like, I get it when a game is meant to be first-person. I understand that. First-person shooters don't give you third-person because then it's not an FPS type thing, you know?
Yeah.
Even though
there's plenty of games that do have that option.
Yeah, they do.
Zoom the camera out. Okay, now you're third-person.
Mm-hmm.
Zoom in close. Okay, now you're first.
Now you're first, exactly.
So it's in there.
Yeah. But, one of those things. Anyway, let's look at the news. What do we got going on as of late? Trying to remember what this week, last week we had our news pretty much compartmentalized as far as, you know, there was the Game Pass price increase,
mm-hmm.
there was the EA being bought out type stuff, and of course we had the interview as well. This week, it's kind of just a mishmash of different things. Battlefield released this past week. That's doing fantastic on numbers on the Steams, which if it's doing that great on the PC, it's probably doing that great on the consoles too. So it's doing pretty good. The Battlefield. What do I have? Oh, maybe that was in a more. I think that was in a more recent news article that I had. Battlefield 6 has only been out a day, and it's already one of Steam's biggest games ever. 24 hours of its launch, eclipsing its own free-to-play open beta and Call of Duty's peak numbers, Battlefield 6 is now EA's most successful shooter ever, after clocking up 747,440 concurrent players in a single day. And that is only counting Steam. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It also has a higher concurrent peak than Apex Legends, Marvel Rivals, and Destiny 2, although I don't think Destiny 2 is a hard one to achieve these days. And I don't say that because I think Destiny has gone down the crapper or anything like that. I say that because Destiny has kind of wrapped up its... I don't know where the pull is now. You know what I'm saying? Like, from a story point in Destiny, from a here's what we keep doing, it was all about moving forward to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a game end, but at least a story end.
Yeah.
And we got there. Well, I didn't get there, but they eventually got there.
Well, I was about to say the story got there, and then corporate said, nah, not really.
Well, no, of course they didn't. Of course they weren't going to say, well, at the end of the game, you're done. You don't have to play anymore. Of course they're going to put in incentives to, like, okay, keep playing. But what is that incentive now? What is that draw? I have no idea. I haven't kept up with it. But that's why I'm saying beating Destiny 2 on concurrent player count, I don't feel like is a hard hurdle to do anymore. And again, it's not because the quality of the game. I don't know what the quality of the game is anymore. I just know that the story's wrapped. So whatever they're doing now feels like it can't be as big a deal as what it was before.
I mean, it's been out there long enough and stuff is stale. And Battlefield is new. So beating Destiny is not...
Yeah, well, you, like, can say that about Destiny. You can say that about anything. About Apex anything, Legends has been around. Marvel Rivals is newer than the other two at the moment. But but again, Battlefield 6 is new and shiny.
It's the hot new thing.
Yeah. It's the new and shiny. And, you know, when that varnish wears off, then we'll just see what happens there. Although I don't know. It could stick. You got a Call of Duty 35 coming out. Is it later this month, maybe? Or is that a November date? I can't remember when the next Call of Duty... I don't know when the next Call of Duty releases. But Battlefield 6 will have, you know, its time to shine. Until then, at least. November?
November 14th.
Okay.
Black Ops 7?
Yeah. I think every Call of Duty should have parentheses after the title that says Call of Duty and then the actual number of, like, what number of this one is it? You know what I mean? Like, you're calling it Black Ops what?
Black Ops 7, but there's the Modern Warfare.
Yeah, like, throw all that. Just anything that had a Call of Duty title to it.
You know what it's
just
like?
Just one, two, three,
it's like,
count
like Spider-Man. How many Spider-Mans were there in Marvel? The Amazing Spider-Man, the Sensational Spider-Man, and then all these other different
titles.
It was all Spider-Man, right?
Yeah, all have different books. Yeah. I get it.
If you combine it all together, it was like Spider-Man number 1076 or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Batman's the worst at that, I believe. Spider-Man did that, yes, but I think Batman's the worst of it. Given ever how many they've done of those. And he's been around longer.
Yeah.
So, anyway, this record comes despite players facing huge queues as servers reach maximum capacity and lead producer revealing that the team was planning for launch day queues. In a post on social media, they said the open beta, which had almost 250,000 players waiting in queues ahead of its launch, helped gauge that interest. And so, It's a lot. Did anybody in the chat room, are they talking about playing that?
Oh, by the way, over 30 Call of Duty games.
There's over 30 Call of Duty. I knew it. What did I tell you? 35, 37, something like that?
There are over 30 Call of Duty games with 23 mainline titles and numerous spin-offs, remasters, and mobile versions.
Yeah. I just pulled a number out of thin air. I didn't know I was that close, but I pulled a number out of thin air because they have had a lot of games. Yeah, yearly releases, annual-type releases. So, anyway, good to see Battlefield 6 doing what it's doing. I hope it does well for them. I hope it's all right. But it is also an EA game. And I'm not saying that because EA just got bought out. I'm saying that because currently EA is charging players of the game Skate $35 for a cardboard Dead Space skin. I don't know what that means by cardboard, but this week the first season pass arrived for the recently reborn Skate in an update that, as a quick glance at the Skate subreddit will tell you, isn't being received very well. Players complaining that a spattering of superficial challenge additions are being used to justify a pile of new microtransactions. The most reviled among Skate's new monetization vectors is the Isaac Clarke bundle. It offers players the opportunity to roll around the area as a cardboard and duct tape knockoff of the Dead Space protagonist for the price of 3,350 Sand Van bucks, which shakes out to about $35 in real money. If that price alone didn't feel contemptuous enough for you, the bundle's got all the usual grimy monetization trappings. It's a limited time offering, so they're trying to do the FOMO. It's got stickers and emotes crammed in to rationalize the price, and it costs just enough to force you to buy more premium currency than you need if the bundle is all you're interested in. That all felt grimy enough to me already, especially when players have noted that Skate 3 had an Isaac Clarke skin that only cost the amount of time it took to enter a cheat code, and that one wasn't cardboard. But it became particularly egregious when I fired up Skate myself and ran into repeated crashes for 40 minutes before I could check the in-game store. After making my character, I was starting a new account. The initial load into the tutorial took an unsettling amount of time. After a solid 2 minutes of watching the kick-flipping load screen graphic, I was finally dropped into the world where I proved myself worthy of an initial skateboard with some basic movement and climbing. I approached the glowing purple circle to trigger the cutscene where I'd be granted my faded implement for inevitable grinds and flips, and then the game locked up for 40 seconds and then crashed with a memory error. I relaunched, another lengthy tutorial load, another run through the basic movement lesson, another attempt to claim my God-given right to skate, and another crash for my efforts. I tried validating installed files through Steam. Crashed. I tried deleting EA anti-cheat files so that they could be re-downloaded on game startup, a fix that I had used before in other games. Crashed. The solution I found after browsing the many threads from users experiencing this same issue was inexplicably disabling crossplay. If you're wondering why that would produce memory errors during cutscene transitions, your guess is as good as mine. Monetization is the devil's bargain we suffer in exchange for free-to-play games. All of us understand that. But I think we can all agree that if you're going to use your game as a trough for cosmetic slurry, you should at least wait until it's deep enough into early access that its default settings don't leave the game unplayable. Then again, if EA is going to be looking down the barrel of $20 billion in leveraged buyout debt, we probably shouldn't expect anything else. That is an article from PC Gamer, written by Lincoln Carpenter. the subheading says the revenue must flow. Which is exactly what that is. Yeah. It's you know how it goes, man. It's free to play, and they got to make their money somewhere. And the more you get into free to play, the more you get into it, but you will notice in a lot of free-to-plays that everything costs because that's how they make their money, and everything costs probably a lot more than it would if there was at least a initial buy-in price, you know what I mean? Like, buy this game, and then we'll have microtransactions within it. Mm-hmm. Probably not as much as it would be, but when it's all set out free-to-play to begin with, the prices are not good.
Yeah.
I honestly stay away from free-to-play. I mean, like, I do Snap. which is absolutely free to play.
But you said, you've always said before, but that's the thing, you don't give money to those things.
Yeah, you don't have to do that at all.
You have the choice to not give money to that. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't, and again, you know, what we just talked about was just a skin. That's all it was.
Yeah, according to the things I was looking at here, it's just like, it looks like someone cosplaying with cardboard and tape.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what it is.
So, yeah.
I mean, a few decals and things for your skateboard or your deck or whatever you're riding on, but Isaac Clarke himself just looks like someone in bad cosplay.
Yeah. Sticking with EA, since they brought up the whole situation with EA being bought out by the Saudis there, it's that $20 or $20. It's that $20 billion in debt.
I wish it was $20.
Oh boy, do they wish it was $20. According to a report by Polygon, although this is me reading from GameSpot, multiple analysts believe that BioWare, who are the folks behind Mass Effect, which we talked about last week, they're a prime candidate to be sold because of the studio's struggles over the last decade. BioWare's Dragon Age, The Veil Guard, which we just talked about with Thar playing it, fell far below EA's expectations. The studio was hit by numerous layoffs in the aftermath. A much smaller team at the studio is currently working on the next Mass Effect title, which may entice potential buyers, but they may end up selling it because it's not that Mass Effect game is not anywhere near that I know of. We haven't had an update in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I doubt it's anywhere near being released, much less being shown off to us. Let's see. EA is currently throwing its promotional muscle behind Battlefield 6, and I think that's working. The first-person shooter that's competing with the Call of Duty franchise. While that may mean DICE, the developers of the game's multiplayer mode, is safe from being sold at the moment, analysts suggest that could change if Battlefield 6 underperforms. Yeah, of course. Since The Sims 4 is one of EA's top-earning games, analysts believe that Maxis is likely safe from being sold off. However, some people believe that even Maxis could be sold if a premium offer was made by an outside buyer. He also predicted there would be sizable layoffs at EA Studios, regardless of whether they're purchased by other companies.
There's layoffs. Regardless of selling any of this stuff off, there's going to be layoffs as well.
Yeah. You can't make that back that $20 billion by selling off some of these studios.
Remember what happened to the folks that made Bomb Rush Cyberpunk?
That was where the... Jet Set Radio, right?
It was the other rhythm game that... Tango. Tango made that rhythm game.
Oh, Tango Dreamworks, Hi-Fi Rush.
Hi-Fi Rush. It was a successful game, right? And still, what happened to them?
They got sold.
So, yeah.
No. They didn't get sold.
They closed the studio down.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no one's...
Microsoft bought them.
Yeah.
Hi-Fi Rush out there, gave it away, and by all accounts, very successful, got high praise.
Yeah.
But Microsoft said, nah.
Yeah, so when they say not going to get, no one's impervious to being sold or laid off at this point. I mean,
they absolutely are.
No one's job is safe in that market.
No, it brings up a thing here with The Sims. I am curious, and maybe somebody in the chat room knows, maybe you can look it up if you want to. It might be a little difficult to look up. What I'm curious about is, The Sims, is that a separate entity from SimCity?
Hmm.
Is The Sims franchise under the umbrella of SimCity, or is it its own thing? I feel like it's its own thing. Because EA has, you know, The Sims as an IP, and they also have SimCity as an IP.
Yeah, SimCity is a city builder. The Sims is a life simulator, and both were made by Will Wright.
Right, but I'm curious.
But which company has, because
The Sims is very successful for EA.
Yeah.
SimCity, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly because EA screwed the pooch on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when City Skylines came in and said, we'll do it better. Or we'll do it like you wanted us to do it, and they did, and it was fantastic. And then City Skylines 2 released, and they screwed up. Screwed the pooch again. There was another city builder that I saw. For those of you who are interested in city builders, I added it to my... I think it's called City
City State? Let me look up real quick.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anything about the companies, but yeah, all I see is that it's both made by the same person, but I'm not seeing anything about who owns what.
Yeah. Of course, it's not going to do what it normally... Why? Is Steam... I'm sorry, folks. I'm just trying to see... There we go. Now it's working. City... No, I didn't say Siri. God. And then I misspell everything. This is so horrible, and I'm so sorry. City State. Yeah, I was right. Okay. There's a game called City State, and then they did a sequel called City State 2, and then they have an upcoming release called City State Metropolis. And the little bits of that that I have seen on Reddit looked really good to me, as far as a guy who likes to play city builders. So...
Not too long ago. I mean, City State 2 came out in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, late 2021. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how great those are, but the City State Metropolis that I saw, I was there was a nice little reveal trailer type of thing that I saw. I was really, really, I was like, that looks, I'm curious as to how that goes, because that looked really good.
So City State 2 was a 7 out of 10 on Steam and 71% on SteamDB. Mm. So not better than average, but,
yeah.
You know.
I'm curious about it. City builders, you know, come and go, but I'm always interested in them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Checking the chat room here. Fortnite and all EA games are overly expensive for junk. The prices are outrageous in all EA sports games, too. You don't do the EA. I was going to say you do the MLB.
MLB,
the show.
But the same elements for sports titles apply no matter who makes it. I mean, it's pretty much the same game.
Is there microtransactions in the show?
Yeah.
For what?
Stubs. In-game currency.
The in-game currency, okay.
In-game currency in the game for that stuff, yeah.
What do you buy with the in-game currency?
Let's see. Uniforms, equipment, bat skins, stadiums.
Equipment. Now, wait a second. Equipment sounds like...
Yeah. Diamond Dynasty, when you're playing other people online, some of the equipment can give you perks.
Ooh.
To increase your game.
So it can pay to win?
Well, you have to pay a lot, and it's not that too much.
It doesn't matter if you have to pay a lot. That's still pay to win.
Yeah, but it doesn't affect a lot. I mean, to me, like, let's say a bat gives you better contact. If you are terrible at making contact with the ball, I mean, it ain't going to help that much.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it does give you perks, but personally, I don't see it making that big of a difference.
Okay, I mean, if you don't find fault with it, that's fine. I have no experience.
But like we said earlier, do you have to pay for that stuff or just get it... through skill in the game.
Right.
So, yeah.
Not sure. What else does he go on to say? PAX. Let's see. The prices are outrageous. And the PAX of digital cards are up to $30. It's crazy. Not video game related. It's okay. Anyway, just checking out the chat room while we talk about this. But, yeah, I think you're going to see. And this purchase that's going through does not take effect until... Oh, here it is. The fiscal 2027, which begins, sorry to make it confusing, fiscal year 2027 begins in April of 2026. Very, very businessy and kind of annoying. So, yeah, leverage buyouts are historically followed by cutbacks in the sale of non-essential assets in the short term. Long term, this can allow a company like EA to focus on more creative, risky ventures as they are not beholden to public shareholders. But short term, we expect them to focus more on core money generators and look to get top dollar for secondary IP. In other words, what they're saying is that way into the future, once this debt is paid off, these are private owners. They can take the risks that they want to risk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not beholden to shareholders and say, well, I don't, you know, they don't have to appease them. They do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get there, we gotta make a whole bunch of, gotta spill a lot of blood. And I don't mean that in the sense of what that is, but I mean, there's a lot of layoffs.
Yeah.
A lot of selling of product.
There'll be a lot of prep work, a lot of layoffs, a lot of this, a lot of that, a lot of changes in the future to make, but we got to start making, setting the bedrock, setting the foundation for that now.
Yeah.
So we start doing what we.
I'm actually, yeah, so. I mean, if that's the case, now, the people who get laid off, I'm I'm going to feel horrible for, obviously, because we've got enough layoffs in the industry as it is. But this is coming next year sometime. But if I could find a silver lining to it all, getting some of these properties out from under EA could be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the SimCity franchise is sold off to somebody else that can work with that and do better by it,
mm-hmm.
that'd be great. If Criterion is sold off, that they can do another Burnout or something like that. I mean, that's my go-to all the time when it comes to EA.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
So it's like your favorite IP made the way it should have been
mm-hmm.
without big corporate...
like selling off the Dead Space property to somebody yeah. else to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a good thing. Might be. I don't necessarily know. It's that's trying to predict a future that's hard to predict.
It's got the potential to be a lot better than it has been in the past.
Right. And I'm curious how that's going to go.
New stewardship may mean a new a rebirth, sort of.
Yeah. Well, we're at the top of the hour. We need to take a break here. And yes, Dave, you are welcome. He said thank you so much. Zombies Ate My Neighbors was on both the SNES and Sega Genesis. So what we heard was SNES. Oddly enough, that was 16-bit music back in the day. Could have fooled me on what that was. This next one that we're playing, it comes from a game that is not something you would think that would have any kind of spookiness to it, but for the most part, a lot of things that I picked this week were very serious, kind of like that Thief track that you heard, very serious, very spooky. So I had to have some stuff to lighten it up. We had the zombies. Now I got the Super Mario Galaxy. Super Mario Galaxy had a area in that game where I think you played as a ghost, but I don't know because I've not played the game. The name of this track is called Ghostly Galaxy. The interesting thing that was pointed out to me when I was looking up this and finding it on YouTube and stuff is that the beginning notes of this track are D, E, A, and D. Which I thought was interesting.
Hmm.
It's a little...
Was it intentional?
Oh, I believe it absolutely was.
Okay.
I believe it was absolutely intentional. You know, we talked about this earlier in... Well, I say we talked about this earlier. We talked about this just this past week on the morning show because we played the NBC chimes. Like, ding, ding, ding. Which is the notes are G, E, and C because NBC was owned by GE.
General Electric. Yeah.
Yeah. So those notes are that.
Mm-hmm.
It's always interesting when that comes around. Anyway, this is Ghostly Galaxy from Super Mario Galaxy. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Back to In-Game Chats. You know what this is, right?
Yeah. Sonic Adventure.
Yeah.
I want to say Pumpkin Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sonic Adventure 2.
Yeah, Sonic Adventure 2, Pumpkin Hill.
Yeah. Pumpkin yeah. Hill.
Yeah, but others had lyrics to it. Yeah, it was
This Knuckles is the instrumental, by the way. I did pick up the instrumental. Yes.
Yeah, this is Knuckles.
You're right. It does have lyrics to it.
Yeah.
But I did grab the instrumental for this one. Anyway, welcome back to the show, everybody. That's okay. The rest of this, and it probably will stay there because I think the rest of what we have is, you know, serious spooky. So, okay, yeah. I was looking at what is coming up next. I also have a sneeze coming on, so excuse me.
Let it out. And a second one.
I don't think I got a second one in there.
Okay.
You'll know in a minute, or I will.
Yeah.
Here pretty soon.
Yeah. Bless you.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Oh, let's see. Where? I don't know where to go. There's a lot of Microsoft stuff in here. There is... Hey, we mentioned this just a little. These are going to be like little quick hits of news things just because there's really nothing that we can really just sit on and discuss for a while. I mean, I suppose there is, but we've done that before. But this comes from the videogameschronicle.com. Reports of a remaster of Red Dead Redemption 2 have swirled for some time as one of the final major releases on the last generation of consoles. Many expected it to migrate to the PS5 and the Xbox Series in the same way that GTA 5 did as well, whenever they did that from the 360 PS3 to the PS4 Xbox One. However, nothing's materialized. There hasn't been anything with it. Now, as claimed in response to a post on Twitter, said that the much-desired ports of the game exist. Yes, they exist. I have no update on timing for release. The tweet says, are you absolutely certain with full confidence our Red Dead Redemption 2, Switch 2, and Gen 9 updates exist? Realistically, we have October and November. After that, it's likely full steam ahead on marketing for GTA. And the response was, yes, they exist. I have no update on timing for release. That is also, I mean, the person who said that is not in any way official. He's just very good at being right about these sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a good record for these things. So, I mean, it's still a rumor. But earlier this year, it was claimed that Rockstar's Cowboy Epic was coming to Nintendo Switch 2 as part of Take-Two's wider support of Nintendo's new machine. Red Dead Redemption 2 was first released for PS4 and Xbox One on October of 2018 before making its way to PC in November of 2019. Dan Houser, the former boss at Rockstar, recently said that he thought Red Dead Redemption 2 was the best game he worked on at the studio. Yeah, we'll have to see about that. He left Rockstar, by the way, in 2020 to form a new company called Absurd Ventures. But he wrote, God, Dan Houser wrote a bunch of that stuff. Him and Sam, yeah. They co-founded Rockstar, wrote 12 games in the Grand Theft Auto series. Also wrote Bully, Red Dead Redemption 1 and 2, Max Payne 3, Midnight Club Los Angeles, and Red Dead Online as well. So got a little experience under his belt writing for video games. Lethal Migrant says, honest question, Microsoft clearly couldn't care less about gaming. Why do they still own Xbox? Because it's a brand. You know? And in fact, they won't sell Xbox. If they move, and I've read... I'm always curious about how... What are the equivalent of our rumors compared to... Or not, I say our rumors, but our conspiracy theories in gaming compared to, like... There was a rumor that Microsoft was going to buy Capcom. You know, is that the equivalent of flat earthers? You know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, there is a rumor, there is speculation, and it's probably very small, that one day, sometime soon, Microsoft is going to get out of the console business and be a third-party business. They've bought enough third parties to become first party. You know what I'm saying? They've bought a lot. In other words, that they could just output games, and they're starting to move to releasing these games on other property, you know, on other consoles.
Yeah, they're pulling the Sega.
Right. They're not necessarily, I mean, they've still got some exclusives, but lately they've been kind of shifting away from doing exclusives to where, we're going to release it on our machine first, but we're also going to release it on PlayStation and Nintendo later on, you know, 6 months, a year down the line.
Yeah, because what's the focus of any business? And that's maximizing profit.
Absolutely. And you can't do it on one system.
You can't do it putting it on one system.
No, not at all. So it's a possibility that, yeah, they could eventually, like, say, all right, we're not going to, in other words, you say, why do they still own Xbox? Because that's a brand. Because whether or not they sell consoles, they can still call things, they can still brand things as Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be very weird if they made an Xbox controller that can play on the PlayStation. Anyway, regardless, they can do it. Sega did it.
Yeah.
They can do it. Do I think they will? No, I don't know. I don't know.
It would have to get to the point where the making of consoles is so bad for their bottom line that they would do something like
well,
that.
Well, I think we're about to. I think we're going to find that out here soon.
Yeah.
Soon is something like some years down the line, but I think we're going to find that out.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next iteration of whatever we're going to get after these, the next Xbox console, the next Sony PlayStation,
mm-hmm.
you want to go to 6 or whatever they're going to call it, the next one of those?
Yeah.
I just saw my name on a box. the next one of those is going to be expensive.
Yeah.
Out of the gate, I guess. So I don't know, I look at that and I wonder, will that be the one that does it?
Mm.
Like when they release the one that costs an ungodly amount to think of right now. I mean, you saw the price increase on the Xbox, you know. I'm thinking 1,000 almost at the.
I would say 1,500.
Like that is the thing. They'll hit 1,000. I'm curious. Like, what is that going to cost? What is our next home console going to cost?
And I think about how long it took me to get a PS5.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't have to rush out the gate to get one because I still had so much to play on a PS4.
But you got one before those prices went up.
Just before the price went up, I did get one.
Yeah.
But like I said, PS5 was released for years before I picked one up.
And now we've got the price increase on the Xboxes as well. This is the second one in a year.
Yeah.
That they have increased the price of their hardware, and I don't know. The price is just going to continue to go up.
Yeah. And if everyone does take the approach that I took, a wait and see approach, I don't have to be there day one. I'm gonna wait a while, see how this goes. How's that going to affect their bottom line, and how whether or not they want to stay in the console market,
I'm curious. That all relies on a lot of things. The next console is not going to be a cheap console. The consoles right now are not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at whatever the prices are right now for your consoles, just imagine that they're going to be at least that much.
Yeah.
I mean, wishful thinking that they're going to be at least that much.
Heck, I'm saying almost double it. You said $1,000. I was like, I'll double it just to be sure.
Yeah, so because I think $1,000 is not necessarily my limit.
Mm-hmm.
My limit, I think, is lower than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that's the number, you know?
Yeah.
You hit $1,000 for a new console. That's the line I don't think any of them want to cross. Maybe. Of course, I thought 500 was probably a line they didn't want to cross. But they've crossed it already.
Mm-hmm.
It was proven that way back during the PS3, that the 600 line was not a line you wanted to cross. 600 for that PlayStation 3 was too much. And they had to release different SKUs to bring that price down to be competitive. I think Microsoft did the same thing with the Kinect that they did on the Xbox One or something like that, when they said, we're going to get rid of the Kinect, and then the price was able to come down on the consoles.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was ever how many years ago that was. I don't think we bat an eye anymore at our console costing $500, but, Nintendo Switch 2 was $450 or $400 without the game, without the pack-in.
Mm-hmm.
So your next one's going to be a pricey machine. I don't want to throw PCs into this because PCs are different and you have to build them and they already cost over $1,000. But you know,
either pre-built or make it yourself. Yeah, it's right. Going to be up there. Yeah.
Like that's a thing. But you look at the consoles have always been the entry level gaming product.
Yeah.
Whether it be the Nintendo product, whether it be the Microsoft product, whether it be the Sony product. It has always been something like that is where you're going to go for the masses for their home gaming needs, mm-hmm. is the home consoles, not the PCs. So when that when that price of entry becomes just outrageous, I don't know what happens. I don't know, man.
You either fall back on your backlog, or you will find an alternative.
That's my thing.
Emulation starts picking up. Piracy starts picking up.
Mobile
gaming starts. It's pretty big now.
Mobile gaming is already huge. Yeah, exactly. Huge, so. That's something I didn't even go account for. But then again, your mobile. I mean, your phones cost like $1,000 now. Yeah. But there's so many different ways. And maybe we've talked about this. We've talked about consoles moving into the cell phone program. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, okay, you get to this console for this many years, you turn it in and get your upgraded console, whatever the case may be. Yeah. Your phone for this many years, once it's paid off, you turn it in. And you get it so much off to get the next one.
Except if you're like us, you didn't tend to keep those things. Heck, I still got my Saturn. You know. My Genesis, too.
Now
think about it, yeah.
That's a different thing, because then, consoles still have life.
Yeah.
Your phones...
They still work.
Your phones not so much. In other words...
But those are built to fail, though.
What is it? Something obsolescence.
Forced?
Something like that. Yeah. It's
inevitable?
But, well, they're built with that in mind.
Yeah.
That these are going to become obsolete at some point. But... your phones, you can move on to the next one, move on to the next one, move on to the next one. That's fine. With consoles, you don't necessarily you can do that, but your games don't necessarily move with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's the future is looking bleak, honestly, for gaming at home.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty
sure someone's thinking about it now.
Well, I mean, to go on the PC side of things, man, I ain't looked into getting an upgrade of anything in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly that has to do with my own finances. But at the same time, when I look at those cards now, which if I was going to upgrade anything on my machine, it would be the graphics card. And the graphics cards are running $900,000 or more.
And in my case, based on what I use my computer for, gaming is not the top priority on my PC.
Mm-hmm.
So based on what I use it for, I'm probably even longer than you. I mean, if you have good enough storage space and keep functioning at an efficient rate, I really don't have to update my PC for a very long time. And the graphics card that I have now is good enough to withstand the type of gaming I play. So play something like a Clover Pit,
mm-hmm.
or something like that, or Balatro. I don't need to have the best card in the world to play those types of games. And those are games I most likely play on PC than a console anyway.
No. Indie devs will save gaming, honestly.
Yeah.
I believe indie devs will save the gaming industry as far as having affordable things to play on those systems.
Yeah.
Like when you are not, I don't know how it works on your consoles, because I know your consoles have a store. There's Game Pass and there's all these things. They have stores, mm-hmm. where you can buy games that people have made, indie games, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. They've got that there. They've got it available for you to buy. I don't know that market. Like I know the PC market,
because
I don't spend my time in that economy,
mm-hmm.
the console store economy type thing that are on your consoles. I don't really spend a lot of time in that area, but mm-hmm. I do online with the PC, with your Steam and with your Epic Games stores and your GOGs and your Green Man or whatever the case.
Mm-hmm.
That I have more familiarity with, and I truly feel that, you know, when they're showing off these new games that are just like Battlefield 6, where it's all really, really pretty and, you know, things do what they do and they break and they all this fun stuff. Good to have them, but I ain't going to be buying them.
Yeah.
But those little indies, like the Clover Pits, there's another one called Mega Bonk, by the way, mm-hmm. that's sort of Vampire Survivors, but in, like, third-person type thing.
Yeah.
Your indie developers are going to save your gaming on those machines. In other words, mm-hmm. it don't take a rig to build. It doesn't take a massive rig to play it.
Yeah.
But you will get a massive amount of hours of enjoyment from it.
Yeah, that's gets me in the same boat in terms of PC and the console market, because I'm pretty much the same way. I think I've said before, it's been a long time since I've bought a game mm-hmm. day one.
Yeah.
I mean, a $70 price tag.
Right,
I know,
but then you're looking
eventually,
at...
I know eventually that price is going to drop.
Mm-hmm.
And I got plenty of other stuff to take my time and interest while that price is going to drop eventually. And you're right. There's some games on PlayStation Store or things I read about online where the game is not $70. It's maybe 20 or 10 or well, even under that. And,
you know,
and it's something you can get a lot of enjoyment out of.
You know, I also bring up the fact that I have a Steam Deck. So a lot of these games that I'm interested in, Clover Pit being one of them, you can play easily on the Steam Deck.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to look at is... Yeah, okay. This isn't telling me much. Hang on.
Hmm. What you got going on there?
No. I'm just looking to see what the platforms that that it's out on. Okay. That's weird. It says it's for Xbox, but it doesn't say that on this page. But it is available. Clover Pit is available on Xbox Series X. So it is available on the store on your console.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if it's on PlayStation. It's only available... See, now this one tells me that it's only available on PC Windows and not on PS5.
I'm seeing Microsoft Windows GeForce Now.
I know, but why did I just see that it was available on... Is it... Wait a second, let me make sure. Is this a... clone type thing? Yeah, it looks like it is.
So,
the publisher is different, though. The developers is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Panic Arcade. Yeah.
Publisher Future Friends Games.
Not on the Xbox. On Xbox, it's by a company called Softonic.
Hmm.
And I'm wondering if this is a not right clone. It says trusted program on this screen that I'm looking at.
Hmm.
It says a full version app for Xbox Series X or S by Panic Arcade. Anyway, regardless.
PC title.
It's one of these things where it is an indie developer. You were talking about the price range of these big whatever games, but then you got these indies that come out with $10, $13,
$15
price tags.
Mm-hmm.
You're more apt to get those on a day one type buy.
Well, the whole thing with Clear Obscure.
Mm-hmm.
A very good game that had AAA fun, but not at the AAA price.
Nope.
Yeah.
Now, that is a perfect example of, like, why can't you be more like them?
Exactly, yeah. Do that.
Why can't you be more like them? And I'm sure there's a massive amount of reasons as to why. What do we got coming out this week that I am looking forward to? Ball X Pit is this week. And I think that's a $13, $15 game that comes out on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, your computer can run it no problem.
Yeah,
it doesn't take a massive rig to make that game enjoyable.
If you can run Bolacho, no problem.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely no problem. Have at it. So you're going to be making that hard decision between Clover Pit and
No, probably not. I mean,
Clover Pit.
Yeah, I know. Ball Pit, I think, will pull me away from Clover Pit for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The best part is none of these things require, like right now I'm kind of leaving Spider-Man in the dust. So mm-hmm. when I go back to it, it's going to be like, oh, crap, how do I swing? How do I do this? What
how
do
I shoot
do?
Webs?
Yeah. Not going to be the same. It doesn't work that way with Bellatro.
No.
You don't lose the muscle memory to play Bellatro.
No. Because you're pretty much hitting like one or two buttons, and that's it.
That's it. I'm not going to lose muscle memory playing Clover Pit because when I move over to Ball Pit.
Mm-hmm.
and so, yeah, there's the differences there. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I still got at least a whole another night and day at least and a few more days with Clover Pit to get in what I need before Ball Pit hits.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. Anyway. We're at the bottom of the hour here. Got to take a break. We have music here from Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines. This track is just called Disturbed and Twisted. So, yeah, whatever that is. You'll hear it in just a minute. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back into In-Game Chat. I told you they were all kind of serious. This is from Resident Evil 8. This is, it's Angie Donna Benevenitu? Benevenitu? I don't know. But,
Those must be the later bosses.
It is.
Alcina Dimitrescu. I forget the guy Troy Baker voiced. That might be the doll.
Yes,
the lady with the dolls.
Black. You can't see her face, but you see the doll. Yeah,
the dolls. Yeah,
That's who that's those characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't play spooky games, so I don't know.
But you can watch them on YouTube.
You can. There's some that I'll play. I like. There's a. Oh, like pixel art horror type games. I'm okay with those, I guess. You get less jump scare type things. You get less type of stress of being chased, I suppose. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And a couple of them I'm okay with. And the creepy, spooky games. Layers of Fear is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that series. Layers of Fear from the Bloober team. The Bloober team has actually done some pretty good stuff that are in the spooky realm, but not necessarily in the horror realm. Then again, there's some of those that I won't touch. They did the Silent Hill 2 remake.
Mm-hmm.
That was very good, and I believe that they confirmed that they were working on a Silent Hill 1 remake because of how successful that was with Silent Hill 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're doing that. So.
I thought that could happen with Dead Space.
Right, yeah. Well, Dead Space got their remake and did pretty well, I thought, with it, but not well enough that the company thought it did any good, which, you know, that's the other thing. We talk about what they're going to be selling off, the Mirror's Edge, which we haven't seen anything in the Mirror's Edge world.
Yeah.
And Dead Space. properties that kind of EA went out on a limb for and did pretty successful with.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were able to experiment. And now they're not going to be able to at the moment. But we'll see how that goes. So, all right, what else do we have in our news? Just looking. We may have already covered this because I just saw where there was an article about the role of the console is shifting. Are rising prices the end for game consoles as we know them? Boy, that would have been helpful to have that there when we were having our discussion. I didn't even know it was in there.
Hey, we did good, though, with what we had.
We did. There's a lot here in this. It's an article from Eurogamer. Console sales are falling. Sales of this generation of Xbox and PlayStations are lagging behind previous generations. In the U.S., console sales are dangerously close to the lowest years we've had in recent memory, which goes back to 2006 and 2013. And obviously, unattractive price increases will only speed that rate of decline. Whether or not Switch 2's success will offset some of that is sort of beside the point, because the bigger, more worrying point is this. Consoles are a mature market. They're not a growing one. Are consoles dying? No. But it's also not a growth segment, which is why the console manufacturers are trying to extend their offerings and IP well beyond the consoles themselves. Which brings us back to this. The role of the console is shifting. When we grew up, consoles were the entry-level product into gaming. Those in arcades, of course. That's where you started your gaming journey. Today, it's mobile and tablets. Game consoles are now premium devices, and as a result, the age group of players is going up. So for the likes of Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, the question becomes, how can we upgrade players from phones over to consoles? How can we best serve an aging player base? our base is getting old. And what separates a console from a PC? This is a great little article here that I really should have gone into when we were having that discussion a minute ago. But they're right, you know, phones, you start now with your tablets and your mobile phones for your gaming. When you start gaming. It didn't happen that way for URI, but that's what it's happening now.
Yeah, my start was arcades. Yeah.
So. Yeah, their first little taste of gaming now comes from their phone.
I mean, who hasn't seen the little toddler with his or her parents' smartphone or
and using it quite well.
Yeah.
I noticed that there was one Christmas I was with the family and when the kids came in, they ran right back to where the computer was and knew exactly where to go, what to do as far as what they were looking for, which was like Santa stuff because it was Christmas.
Yeah.
It's Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
But like they were all over it, on top of it, ready to go.
Yeah.
And that was my first time that I witnessed it and bear witness to that age grade. They were young, man.
Yeah.
Like young, young.
Yeah.
And were just...
Single-digit years, man.
Yeah.
At the end of that, yeah.
And they got there not because they knew how to operate the computer, but they knew how to operate it on their phone and translate that into how to operate it on that computer.
Mm-hmm.
It just fascinates me. It wasn't something that I was like scared of or anything like that. It wasn't mm-hmm. something like, oh God. It was just, it was impressive mm-hmm. is what it was. And it kind of made me wonder, it's like, man, that's, for me, I didn't get into understanding any of this stuff. Like my dad had a Commodore 64. He had to do everything in order for me to play something on it because I didn't understand right. You have to type in this letter to it was DOS based.
Mm-hmm.
You have to type this stuff in order to get it to play your game, and I would have to have him come in to get that to happen.
Yeah,
and eventually I learned what I needed to do to make that, but it didn't go beyond playing whatever we had, and I don't remember. We had Popeye, and we had there was some other game that we had. And I can't remember what it was. Silent Service. Yeah, that was the other one.
Yeah.
But for that, I had to plug in a different controller and all these other things. Anyway, regardless, that was kind of my first taste. But my real first taste, it came when I got a Nintendo. And that was probably in my, it was 8, 7 or 8, 9 mm-hmm. years old. These kids' first contact was three, you know? Yeah. Three, maybe, I guess. I don't know. Maybe maybe something lower than that, or maybe now it's lower than that.
Mm-hmm.
Because your phone, then, you know, your phone or your tablet becomes your babysitter, much like the VCR or the TV used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like you can handle that. You don't have to put them down in front of one room. They can be in the room that they're in, and you can just hand them that and say, go.
Mm-hmm.
With certain restrictions, I understand. I'm not saying it's just it's free-for-all type thing. I understand that.
Yeah.
But it was one of those situations where I looked at that, I saw what they did, and I thought, what's that going to mean down the road? You know, what's that going to mean 10 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
With the access that they have and where they go from there. And I am not speaking in any sort of worry at all. I'm speaking in sort of a... what does that mean for the market of the video game, for markets of video games, for the video game player base type thing?
I would think off the top of my head, it's going to take a lot to impress them.
Right?
It's going to take a lot to get to wow that generation of players. I mean, what have they seen? It's like been there, done that. What have you got for me now?
Yeah.
Show me, impress me, show me something.
I think you're right in that. I think, and also seeing that also made me think of not my own mortality, but one of those things where it's like, you just said it, where something that impresses them. Right now, certain things really do impress me, but probably doesn't impress a younger generation.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it absolutely, AI, I suppose, could be, so AI absolutely can impress me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it, but it's impressive to see what it can do.
Yeah.
Like, in all aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, like, before it was in the aspects of the way it would just spit out information or spit out what you told it to spit out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, write 700 words on this topic. And it's like, there it is. Yeah. It's kind of well written.
Yeah.
Kind of looks good.
Yeah, make me a script.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, just my God, the stuff it can do. And then we moved into imaging. And for a time there, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's a little rough in parts and clearly noticeable that it's not getting the gist of things.
Mm-hmm.
But that was 4 years ago, maybe, for me, when I first witnessed that. And now it's used to get check fingers.
Yeah,
but that's not a sign anymore because they fixed the fingers. So now you've got to look at other aspects of what that is doing, or what is this real or not? And then, oh, what did I see recently? That wrestling video, and it was stupid. And the only reason you knew it was AI was because the people involved are dead. But it was something that absolutely never happened in this world. But it was displayed right there in front of me, looking really good. Until they had to interact, and then it looked a little flaky.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll get there.
Yeah,
they'll fix that. And that's in the imaging aspect. The voice aspect is already like, you don't know.
Yeah,
I can't. You don't know if that's an AI voice.
You get enough. You get enough sound samples of somebody. You can string together a complete, a whole press conference.
You don't even need the sound samples of somebody anymore.
Yeah.
Like you do if you want them to sound like that person.
Yeah.
But currently, there are plenty of places you can go to where it's like, I want this voice to say these words, and it's not a human being at all.
Mm-hmm.
And there it is, spits it out for you. You got the words. It's read in such a way that it sounds natural. It sounds like a human being.
Sounds authentic, yeah.
Yeah. No, and no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Which I say that, and this is what I do for a living. And we've talked about it on the shows, on the other shows on this station, where it's like there's almost no job that an AI cannot replace. And even when you think that, well, you know, you got to have somebody here to have that conversation, like, no, actually, you don't. There's chatbots, I guess is what they're called.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can have complete conversations with a robot. That's just in text. When they move that over into voice, and they could already have, I don't know, where you can have complete conversations with AI vocally,
mm-hmm.
not typed out.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we've gone completely off off the thing here.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you see it in sci-fi shows and things all the time like that, but we make it a reality. Have at it.
No, it already is a reality, yeah, man. It absolutely already is a reality. And so that's neither here nor there on what we were talking about, just the fact of how future and technology and everything is just moving in at a pace that will, as humans, will never be able to replicate, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Even though we're the ones that came up with it to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Lethal Migrant says AI is going to kill us all. We'll
damn it.
Man. You laugh. But that was something that I once laughed at.
Yeah.
And now it's something that I once kind of raised an eyebrow to, of like, it's only halfway funny now, because it's a possibility. So I don't know.
You want to watch Terminator again?
Oh, I'll watch Terminator all the time. Okay, Terminator 2, yes. Terminator 2 still holds up as just good.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron can make film, and the effects of Terminator 2 still hold up really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've gone back and kind of 4K'd them up and everything. It still holds up. God, what a downhill that franchise was. Yeah, I would say that AC Wraith. I'm picturing more of a Brainiac than I am a Skynet. Where Skynet was just aggressive, right? Skynet was like, we took over, now it's time just to kill you all. Brainiac was more of a, let's start slow and then, like, I'm not going to kill all of you. Mm. I'm just going to enslave all of you. You're going to do my bidding, and you're going to want to do it. Mm. And because of whatever. Yeah, so it's like, that's all. And boy, we could go off on some comic books here and some sci-fi. Would love to. You want to talk about horrors? Mm. Yeah. Let's go back to gaming, though. Because what have I missed here in gaming? Marathon, Bungie, Marathon. They are going back to testing here. They have... they have asked. I saw this come across my. One of the few things that I saw before Wario tweeted it out.
Yeah.
I got a notification that Bungie was asking for testers. We're running a test again for Marathon. And then, Wario hit it. But yes, it was on Monday they announced that a new closed technical test for Marathon will take place between October 22nd and the 27th. Signups are now open. It is an NDA playtest. It is designed to try out the improvements that they've made since the game's alpha, including 3 new maps, 5 runner shells, proximity chat, returned combat pacing, a solo queue, deeper environmental storytelling, and more. The technical test build is a work in progress and will only include a portion of what's planned for the full release, focused on the early player experience. The players who participate in this closed tech test will not be permitted to share their impressions. Bungie claims it will be sharing a public update on Marathon's development in the coming months. So, we expect Marathon to release by the end of March 2026. That has not changed yet. I think we'll be looking for people to break that NDA. I think that NDA will be broken awfully fast. Mainly because of the hype. So I say the hype, and I don't necessarily mean the expectations for this game to release. I mean the hype of what they do, right?
Yeah.
Like, this game was supposed to release in September, got pushed back, so now you're getting to see it. There were plenty of claims of plagiarism with artwork.
Yeah.
That apparently that artwork became kind of the soul of the game, because of how it was used,
mm-hmm.
and that they took that stolen artwork and said, well, we're going to use this as the framework of our design, of our, and I don't mean the gameplay,
mm-hmm.
but the look
of
the whole thing is going to be based on this.
Mm-hmm.
So what have they changed? What have they done? What's different? And yeah. I think that's going to get out a lot. That's going to get out very fast.
Yeah.
Within the first hour people running this test, that will be broken.
Yeah, it's the hot new info, and they're sitting on it, and can't nobody sit on it in this day and age.
Nah, man.
As soon as
it ain't going to be. I don't even know why they do it. Why they even do an NDA, because this thing is going to be broken. One of the fastest NDAs ever, I believe, that'll ever be broken, is this thing. Within the, I said the first hour, half hour tops, but you
Should
can,
be generous.
Yeah, 10 minutes, sure. Mm-hmm. Quicker than that, probably. Yeah, this is going to be broken fast.
Yeah, watch my live stream as I play this NDA game.
I don't, yeah, you might see some live streams, but they can find those and shut those down, and when you do that, when you live stream, you, depending on who it is, there are going to be people that don't care.
Yeah, that's what
but
I mean, yeah.
There are also going to be people who just create an account that's going to live stream this. But if they find out it's you, you'll be banned from the game and whatever else. They may not care.
Yeah.
But the descriptions, you can easily go on and talk about the game on forums mm-hmm. without being attached to your gamer tag, to your whatever, your account that you can get away from. Mm-hmm. So you'll see. But I imagine it's going to happen very fast. We also got news of a new Pikmin. Nintendo released, I think it was Tuesday, Nintendo released some weird short of a baby chasing its pacifier. It was all kinds of strange. There was no context to it. There was nothing to tell you that this is a game, this is just an animation. There was no way to tie it into anything. We didn't know what it was. And then the next day, you got the thing that it was all Pikmin inspired. All the Pikmin were in there. So, but we don't necessarily know. It's Pikmin related, but we didn't get any sort of. We still didn't get any context of, is this for a new game? Is this what is this?
Mm-hmm.
We still don't know. Yeah. But it is Pikmin related. That much we do know.
Yeah.
So.
Something to generate a little buzz on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Minecraft sequel got announced as far as the movie. That will be 2027, which will come just after the Zelda movie that's being worked on. So. Oh, man. I meant to mention this. Game Pass with the price increase. Reddit users in multiple regions, including Poland, Germany, Indonesia, Austria, India, and Ireland, have reported receiving an email from Microsoft stating that the Ultimate subscription will not increase in price as long as they remain subscribed. At this time, these increases will only affect new purchases and will not affect your current subscription for the market in which you reside as long as you are on auto-recurring plan. That was verified, by the way, from a Microsoft email. Should you choose to cancel your plan and repurchase, you will be charged at the new current rate. It is speculated that the change in these countries is likely related to local regulations around subscription price changes. Boy, I wish we had some regulations. Mm-hmm. Microsoft announced the 50% price increase in Game Pass Ultimate earlier this week. They talked about what it's going to go to, $30 a month instead of $20. But apparently in certain countries, that will not take effect so long as you are subscribed. And boy, do I wish you could get grandfathered in. Mm. I looked up mine. 22 years. I'm not going to look up how much money I've spent.
Enough.
That's not buying games. That's just subscribing to the service.
Yeah.
For 22 years. It's a lot, but I've been a member for 22 years and I'll have to make a choice in December. My service renews in October here in just a bit, still at the $20 price range. And then in November, the date at which this changes is still after my subscription renews in November.
Mm.
So I get it this month, I get it next month, and then in December, I got to make a choice on whether I'm going to keep it or not. So, what that does, though, is I will have about a month or so of the new service
mm-hmm.
to see what's there, to kind of look at it before I decide to make that change mm-hmm. come December. So, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Oh, God, we've got to go. That's it for us, folks. I'm so sorry. We went way over. I say we went way over. We didn't. We're about to. So I'm going to go. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Show note, by the way, I forgot, we're off next week. No show next week. No show next Saturday. Just letting you know. Sorry about that. I'll put that on our socials and our OnlyFans. Here's music from A Hat in Time called Subcon Forest. We don't really have a lot of time for it, but here it is. We'll see you next. We'll see you in 2 weeks.